Akinchana Gocharam, who are not materially puffed up, can see the Supreme Personality of God, yet others are bewildered and cannot even think of the Absolute Truth. Text 38, the great mystic said, Dear Lord, persons who see you as non-different from themselves, knowing that you are the super soul of all entities, are certainly very, very dear to you. You are very favorable towards those who engage in devotional service, accepting you as the Lord and themselves as the servants. By your mercy, you are always inclined in their favor. Therefore, it's indicated in this verse that the monists and the great mystics know the Supreme Personality of God as one. This oneness is not a misunderstanding that living entities equal in every respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This oneness is based on pure knowledge as described and confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Priyogi, Jnani, Ocharitam, Aham, Satchatmama, Priya. The Lord says that those who are advanced in transcendental knowledge and know the science of Krishna consciousness are very dear to Him, and He is also very dear to them. Those who are actually in perfect knowledge of the science of God know that the living entities are superior energy of the Supreme Lord. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita. Seventh chapter, the material energy is inferior and the living entities are superior energy. Energy and the energetic are non-different. Therefore, energies possess the same quality as the energetic. Persons who have full knowledge of the personality of God, analyzing the different energies and knowing their own constitutional position, are certainly very, very dear to the Lord. Persons, however, who may not even be conversant with knowledge of the Supreme Personality, but who always think of the Lord with love and faith, being that He is great and they are His part and parcels, ever His servitors, are even more favored by Him. The particular significance of this verse is the Lord's address as Vatsala. Vatsala means always favorably disposed. The Lord's name is Bhakta Vatsala. The Lord is famous as Bhakta Vatsala, which means that He is always favorably inclined to the devotees, whereas He is never addressed anywhere in the Vedic literature as Jnani Vatsala. Translation: the governors of various planets spoke as follows. Dear Lord, we believe only in our direct perception, but under the circumstances we do not know whether we've actually seen You with our material senses. By our material senses we can perceive the cosmic manifestation, but You are beyond the five elements. You are the sixth. We see You therefore as the creation of the material world. The great mystic said, Dear Lord, the persons who see You as non-different themselves, knowing that You are the super soul of all living entities, are certainly very, very dear to You. You are very favorable towards those who engage in devotional service, accepting You as the Lord, and some themselves as the servants. By Your mercy, You are always inclined in their favor. So here we have the Lokapals offering prayers, and the great yogis, Yogeshwara. So the Lokapals are surprised because they can actually see the Lord. And generally, if we see something with our eyes, it must be material. So they are surprised. How is it we can see the Supreme Lord with our material eyes? Maybe it's false. Maybe we don't see the Lord at all. Maybe this is a material creation or whatever. So this, of course, is generally true. We cannot see the Lord with material eyes. At the same time, if we are very fortunate and are born when the Lord comes as avatar, then we can see the Lord. So when Krishna appears, so many people see the Lord. Even unqualified people can actually see the Lord. Of course, when they do see the Lord, they see Him differently from what the devotees see. So yes, the devotees see the Lord with eyes of devotion, and therefore they can appreciate the Lord. Materialists may see the Lord, but they will not have the same experience that the devotees get because they have no devotion. So in one sense, yes, even the demons can see the Lord, but at the same time, the real wonderful qualities and form and activities of the Lord are appreciated more by the devotees, much, much more. Of course, even if a demon sees the Lord, there's nothing wrong with that because eventually he gets purified by contact with the Lord in some way or the other. But he's not considered a devotee. So it is possible to see the Lord even if you have material eyes by the mercy of the Lord. But one cannot appreciate the Lord so much at that point. People doing yoga praise the Lord. And generally yogis are of two types, those who are impersonalists and those who are personal. The impersonalists recognize Vishnu, but they would prefer to realize Brahman. And those who prefer to worship Vishnu, if they are lucky, get association, then they can actually become devotees and continue that worship of Vishnu with devotion and go further than liberation. So here the yogis are saying that there is no difference between you and us.
So this verse is a little bit contradictory because the yogis are seeing before them a form of the Supreme Lord, which is obviously different from them. However, they also appreciate the fact that the Lord is one with everything. So there is a little bit of a difference here. They're seeing two, but they're appreciating one. So though they recognize the Supreme Lord, they also appreciate this Atma-gyan or Brahman realization. This is what many yogis will do. They will appreciate the Lord, but they also appreciate Brahman realization or the oneness aspect. If that oneness actually is prominent, then they are considered to be a personless. But here we see that actually they continue and say that those who do bhakti make a distinction between the Lord and themselves. And they describe the Lord here as vatsala, or very affectionate towards his devotees. So though the Lord manifests oneness in the form of man, he also manifests himself as different, that is, separate from the devotee. And there's a relationship between the Lord and the devotee of devotion. So these are two types of realization, and we see them both mentioned here in one verse, which is interesting. From this we can understand that the yogis appreciate both aspects, the Brahman aspect and the personal aspect. In between there, they also say Visha Atman, Atman. That is the soul of the universe. The Lord is also Paramatma. So actually we have three realizations. They realize the oneness, they realize the Lord pervades everything in the material world as Paramatma, and they also realize the Lord as the object of devotion for the devotees. So they understand the three aspects of the Supreme Lord, and that's what they describe here. So from the first canto of Bhagavatam, we can understand these three particular aspects of the Lord, that is supported here. And of course in the third canto and other places also we'll have similar types of statements. This is one of the fundamental principles of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. We accept the Lord in these three forms, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. As I said, it's stated in the first canto, stated in the third canto, stated in the fourth canto here, and stated in other places as well. So it's not just that it's stated once in the whole of the Vedic literature, but it is repeated many times in the Bhagavatam. So these three aspects or three views of the Supreme Lord are all one. They're not different because it is Advaita Jnanam. They're all part of the Supreme Lord. The Lord manifests himself in many different forms. As he manifests Nishima and Rama and Krishna and Varaha, etc. So he also manifests forms as Paramatma and as Brahman. Of the three, the Brahman is quite different. Paramatma and Vishnu look the same. Brahman looks quite different because there's no form of qualities and activities. So when we get to the Paramatma form, this is often grouped with the Bhagavan form. The two will go together because they're very, very similar. Only difference is the matter of devotion. The devotion is not very strong in the Paramatma form. And devotion is strong in Bhagavan forms. Whereas in the Brahman form, we see there is a big difference there. Completely formless. So we may wonder, how is it possible that the Lord can also be there without that form, without form at all? because he's so different from the others. So the scriptures will always state that this is like the light of the Lord, as in the Brahma Samhita. It explains that the Brahman is like the light of the Lord. Of course, light is a material thing, so we cannot actually say it is light in the same sense as material light. But just like we have light as a manifestation of the sun, so we have Brahman as a manifestation of Supreme Lord. So that is the relationship. The cause of Brahman, which is spiritual, is Supreme Lord, who is spiritual. So both things are spiritual. So Brahman is not material, it's spiritual. But its source is Supreme Lord, just as the sun is the source of the sunlight. So we cannot give sunlight any particular form also. Sun has a form. So from the form comes a formless manifestation. So we see that in the material world in terms of the sun and the light. So similarly, the Lord is the source, and then we have his aspect as Brahman, which comes from him, is dependent on him, is spiritual, but is without form, just like the light is related to the sun. So this is the way in which we can think of this Brahman. So it is the light of the Supreme Lord, or the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. And it is spiritual. So because it is directly related with the Lord and spiritual, we can say that it is the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, we have jivas, who are also similar to the Supreme Lord, and they're also kind of like light. But at the same time, they manifest individual consciousness and individual forms. So they are different from Brahman in that way. Yes, they're spiritual, related to the Lord, dependent on the Lord. We can also say they are like light. They are effulgent, they have consciousness. But Brahman also has consciousness, but they are small particles of consciousness, and they accept spiritual forms. So the jiva, therefore, is distinct from the Brahman. These distinct particles of consciousness worship the Supreme Lord. And so there is a difference there. Much more difference, we can say, than between the Brahman and the Supreme Lord. The difference between the jiva and the Supreme Lord is that the jiva accepts the position of being the devotee in relation to the Lord. And we don't find individual consciousness within the Brahman. In this way, there's a difference there. So the material world is also one with the Lord, because the Shakti of the Lord and the Lord are not different. But there's a big difference between that energy and the Brahman or the Jiva, because matter is completely unconscious. There's no consciousness at all. So that is a distinguishing factor. So though we say everything is one with the Lord, those objects are different. So we have matter is different from the Lord, and it is also different from Brahman, and also different from Jiva. We have material object equated with the Lord as one, and then we have spiritual objects also equated with the Lord as one. Everything is one with the Supreme Lord, inconceivably. But there'll be differences there. So though material energy is also one with the Lord, it is quite different from spiritual energy and from the Lord. Brahman and Jiva are much more similar to the Lord because they are spiritual. At the same time, there's also difference. Jiva is an individual and dependent on the Lord. Brahman is also dependent on the Lord. So there's a difference there. So in this way, we have different objects which are related to the Supreme Lord, or one with the Lord, and also different from the Lord. So that is the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here the yogis express this idea of oneness and difference, etc., by showing the Paramatma feature, the Brahman feature, and the Bhagavan feature in the last part. And the significant point here, of course, about the Bhagavan portion is that the Lord is Vatsala. He responds to the devotees. He is very affectionate towards the devotees. But though the Lord is always the Lord, he will manifest different qualities in response to the person who's worshipping. So the yogis worship the Lord, and even the impersonalists may respect the Lord and worship him also. And the devotees respect the Lord. What is the difference? The difference is the matter of the devotion. So the devotees have more devotion, and therefore the Lord responds to that. And therefore he's called Vatsala for the bhaktas. He is not called Vatsala for the jnanis. He responds to them, yes. But because their devotion is very little, they get very little response. So he gives them liberation. And that's what they desire. And it's similar with the yogis. But because the devotees have great devotion, the Lord also responds with great affection to them. So that's why he's called Vatsala in relation to the devotees. Yeah. If it's not, then would it matter? Of course, the degree of consciousness is quite limited, because in that consciousness there's no consciousness of anything. It is simply awareness. When you start being aware of things, then we have duality, but Brahman means oneness. So we can say it is sat and chit, and even we can say it is ananda, but the ananda portion is very limited. Even the chit portion we can say is somewhat limited.
These sages, it seems that they are talking about the three different aspects of the Lord. So surprisingly, they seem to be attached to the lower aspects, although they are aware that there is a higher platform of relationship with the Lord, devotion. So that's a choice that they make.
Yeah, even in a personalist must also worship the Lord, but still they prefer Brahman. So it's a matter of association.
Brahman and Jiva are separate.
Huh?
Brahman and Jiva.
Yeah.
There's a difference between the self-manifested TV and star TV.
Ultimately not, we can say, because simply that one, the Lord is called into one and the other is permanently there, that's all.
Is it accurate to say every particle, every molecule is a living entity? Is it conscious?
Technically, philosophically, we have to say no, because matter is not, is by definition, is achit. So therefore, it cannot be a living entity. There may be a living entity in matter, a jiva somewhere. Yeah, maybe. So jivas pervade everywhere, so they can be everywhere. That's no problem. Just like the Supreme Lord is pervading everywhere also. But as far as matter as such, we cannot say it is living, because its very definition is achit. Well, that's the idea of oneness. Everything is one with the Lord. But then, of course, we get stuck in a problem that if everything's spiritual, why are we trying to get in the spiritual world? We may as well stay here in our material body. So we have to start making distinctions at a certain point, even though everything is one with the Lord. So the big distinction is we make achit and chit between jiva and Supreme Lord, jiva and matter. We make those distinctions. Though everything is one with the Lord, still we make distinctions.
Yeah.
Oh, it depends. Of course, with Krishna, yes, it says directly that they were liberated. With other avatars, it doesn't really say. And in fact, we have people like Ravana didn't get liberated when they saw Rama and fought with him. So it's not that everybody automatically gets liberated. With Krishna, of course, because of Krishna's attractive qualities, he does more. So it is said that all the people saw Krishna occur, etc., got liberated. But we see that Ravana didn't get liberated when he saw Rama. Or Hiranyakasipu didn't get liberated when he saw Nrisimhadeva. So it's not a universal rule that everyone who sees the Lord gets liberated.
But there the Lokapalas can be considered to be normal materialists?
Well, they're Devatas. Lokapalas are Devatas. Indra is a Lokapala.
In terms of their spiritual realization, they're normal materialists.
Well, they're devatas, so they have their sattvic. They also know the Lord. The Lord resides on Svargaloka sometimes. That's what they say.
Congratulations.